dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs and Bruce Knox.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome once again to SVC Sports Talk. This is show 147, brought to you, as always, by Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe. I am Bruce Knox. The gentleman just across the desk from me there is one Mr. Shane Combs of SVCSportsZone.com. Shane, welcome into the palatial and luxurious SVC Sports Zone studios. How are you this evening, my friend?
I'm doing great, Bruce. I think we're really in for a fun show. I think the feedback this week was it started early and really continued throughout the week. We have Uniota still streaking. I had a neat fun email about their chances of winning the Golden District title. What type of team would it take to stop such a feat? And, obviously we had the unfortunate play there Friday night in the Uniota blowout over Zane Trace, so we'll talk about a little bit that changes that a little bit, but just unfortunate there. But we also had some weather get in the way. Remember, we talked girls, Westfall Southeastern, yep. So that's going to be coming up. One fan anxious to hear more about that. Some more basketball talk. Fundamentals and intangibles is a word that's showing up in some emails this week. Got a neat fast break. Had a guy, I assume guy, didn't have a name on it. Had a guy, Bruce, that was talking about coaches and how not always positive feedback, and thought it would be neat that he was going to do a two-parter. And part one, he started with eight coaches, just kind of randomly out of the 16 varsity coaches in basketball. So we'll kind of put that out there as a teaser. We're going to talk about eight of our 16 varsity coaches in the fast break this week. But obviously the Cole Cottrell story, tough not to start there, just kind of a tough thing to stomach, and a super kid, and unfortunate what happened there.
Well, we'll get to that in just a second, but again, we want to remind everybody that the episode 147, as all episodes have been to date, brought to you by Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, just off of Bridge Street, back behind the Hampton Inn. It is a great place for parties and get-togethers for you and your family, and even group events. They are on the web, of course, or you can call them at 740-773-PLAY. That's 740-773-7529. And you can get lots of good food there. I was looking at their menu not too long ago, because while we have catering here in the studio, Shane, it's not as good as what you can get at Triple Crown. And they also have they host parties, events there. They've got the soccer and the soccer leagues going on, and then they have the inflatables and the inflatable rentals, all kinds of good stuff, and we appreciate them being a sponsor for us. So You mentioned, as we were going into that, in kind of your summary and tease there, that we did have an unfortunate event Friday night, and we lost Cole Cottrell. I'll let you kind of fill in the blanks, since I know, and we're going to talk to Cole here in a little bit, but that provides challenges for all involved, I think, doesn't it?
Well, it certainly does. And for fans that have not heard, I think most people have by now, through the social media and through some other reports. Obviously, people at Uniota have, but what I'm talking about is people throughout the league that, follow another school that maybe did not know. Cole up on a fast break play, kind of got up in the air and was hit pretty hard and kind of went down backwards and went to put the hands back to catch, and ended up hurting both wrists, and he'll talk about that a little bit in the interview to give the exact injuries that the doctor ended up telling him about. But Bruce, I guess every player on a team fills a particular role. Mm-hmm. You know, some kids are, you know, practice kids. Some kids are role kids off the bench. Some start. Some are kids that really rebound. Some are kids that defend. Some kids are asked, obviously, to shoot the ball more than others, to score or whatnot. So every time you lose a player, it's going to kind of put a hole in that process that you hear coaches talk about. And, you know, if – you know, in any time you're on a good team, your role is important. And obviously, Unioto is a very good team. So, you know, now consider how big this particular hole is for Unioto. You're talking about a POI candidate. You're talking, yeah. In my opinion, we certainly have some super, super scorers of the basketball. But, I feel like Cole's the probably the best all-around player in the league in terms of the way he can impact a basketball game in so many different ways. So, you know, some teams simply can't replace a hole that size. They just don't have the depth or the talent. You know, fortunately enough for Unioto, from a basketball standpoint, they do. You know, Unioto is so talented.
Pretty deep, yeah.
Yeah, I think they'll figure it out from a basketball standpoint. But, you know, but before I get into some of the other different things, I had a chance the other night, the next night, Saturday night over there at Huntington when Unioto was playing, to pull Cole aside and just had a little short conversation with him. And let's go ahead and run that, Bruce, if that's okay.
I appreciate you joining us here on SBC Sports Talk. Obviously, we hated the news. It made us sick there at the website last night. Just take us back over the last 24 hours, just, you know, with what happened and what the doctors have told you and just your outlook here moving forward.
Well, the doctors, they said I have a crack in the left one, and then the right one is pretty broken, pretty bad. But I couldn't have got through it without my teammates and my coaches. They were there the whole way. Great supporters. Right now, I'm just looking for a quick recovery. Hopefully, come back to tournaments ready to go.
Great, great. Well, I tell you, I mean, obviously, I was looking forward all week to talking to you with some things going on. Obviously, I was hoping not to have to start the interview with those types of questions. Obviously, the job of a leader never stops. I noticed you tonight in warm-ups there, and then with the captain circle on the bench, the little things. Just talk to me about, obviously, because they're still very talented guards, but you're very young at guard. Just talk to me a little bit about what you're going to try to let them know in terms of moving forward.
I told them just step up, do what they do best. You know, try not to do too much. Just do what they do best, and the outcome will be good for me.
Also, I've had a lot of people at the website while I have you here. Some of the college plans. I know, obviously, a very talented kid getting some looks at the next level. What are some of the college plans on the basketball side once we're able to get by these injuries?
Shawnee State actually offered me a full ride the day before I broke it. And then last night they were there when I broke it, and they said the offer still stands. And then I also got a couple of D2 schools like Concord, West Virginia, and Malone looking at me still. So I guess we'll see what happens in the next month.
Well, last question here real quick. This was the whole point I wanted to talk to you. The thing that's impressed me about this group over the last 2 years, you have all of these talented kids, and there's obviously an individual sacrifice to make the success work. Just talk to me about what makes the team so unique in terms of team chemistry and how well you guys seem to get along. It seems like you're willing to give up the individual stat sheet for the good of the team.
Yeah, I mean, our teammates, we just love each other. I mean, we hang out outside of basketball, not just during practice stuff. We hang out outside of basketball, stay at each other's houses. I mean, we're always together. So it makes it a lot easier on the court.
Well, I appreciate it. Best of luck. We're all behind you, and I hope to see you back here as soon as possible.
All right. Thank you.
Again, that's Unioto senior captain Cole Cottrell. Appreciate his time there on what was, I'm sure, a long 24-hour stretch for him, his teammates, his family. But, you know, one thing, Bruce, just on a personal note for Cole looking after high school, really glad to hear about some of the college opportunities, because I think that's always great for a young man or woman to be able to use a sport to get a free college education. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this from a basketball standpoint. I know we've had some different college coaches listen in, you know, here and there, different sports. I know we had some golf people follow the website a lot. I know some basketball coaches have listened to certain parts of certain shows where I've had some nice conversation. But, you know, this kid's an absolute steal. At some of these levels he's talking about, in my opinion. I think Cole Cottrell is a 21-year-old with his work ethic and his body and his skill set is just going to be a tremendous player at the next level. So really, really exciting to hear that. As he said, obviously high school wise, he hasn't given up on it yet. He wants to, you know, try to get back, ASAP. If Uniota's able to extend himself back to the combo there, he would love to get back and be a part of that in whatever way possible. So obviously we're all behind him in that. But, you know, moving out of that interview and kind of getting to the point I wanted to talk about here, Bruce, I guess the leadership and the maturity was so important here. This is a part of some of the things we'll talk about, some intangibles and different things throughout the show. But I want people to really pay attention to how important someone like a Cottrell is to Uniota, not just in terms of being a talented basketball player, but being a senior leader. I mean, this is a Uniota basketball team that is very, very talented, but they can get young sometimes when you start to take someone like him out of the rotation and fill in some other pieces. So those are all interesting things I look forward to talking to here on the show that, again, this email had come in earlier in the week that we're going to get to here in the next segment.
Yeah, and just for kind of a clarification, if somebody's listening that doesn't know, he didn't really explain. He said the left one and the right one and so forth, but those were his wrists. That is a real unfortunate. Did he say anything off air, Shane, or off the recording about when he expects to be back? Is that a fair question? I mean, I realize it was less than 24 hours since he had done that when he talked.
Yeah, he didn't. I talked to some other people close to the program, and it was one of those things that, you know, as he was talking about the one being broken a little bit more severely, you know, they heard some numbers as little as the 8 weeks. I'd heard some numbers as long as the 12 to 14 weeks, depending on, you know, obviously, if you ask the player, he hears 8 weeks and all of a sudden he starts doing the math. He's like, well, I'll be back for district. You know what I mean? So obviously we would love for that to be the case. And that's exciting for him to still have that kind of to keep him motivated and keep the team, you know, thinking that, you know, they can get their leader back. But yeah, that's kind of, it's probably too early to tell, but those were some of the numbers in terms of the recovery time I'm hearing.
The fact that he was at the game on Saturday night, I think, speaks volumes about his leadership too, though. I mean,
And he wasn't there, Bruce, to just hang out. He was down under the basket. He was out at the captain's circle. He was right there next to Coach Hoops. He was in the huddle. I mean, so he's a kid that understands his importance, you know, in the leadership role as well.
Well, that's we wish him the best and hope that he is back, you know, come districts or whatever. We'd like to see him back because that's a big spark for the Uniota team. Well, unfortunate news there about Cole Cottrell, and that certainly impacts how we may discuss our first fan email this week. So fans, stay with us. We'll talk more about Uniota basketball next. Well, as I mentioned, we had an email, so the email box didn't fail us again.
Real quick, was that an older one there? Usually I can at least make a guess.
That was a little older, yes. That was from my time, so that was Chicago. Call on me. I'm sorry.
I actually love me some Chicago. I just didn't recognize that team. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, gosh, I'm showing my age again. Anyway, as I was saying before, I was so rudely interrupted by the young punk sitting across from me. We had a question. It came in from the email box, and this person says, I was hoping Shane would give the likelihood the Uniota boys staying perfect all the way through district tournaments again this season. Boy, this was a loaded email, wasn't it? I just haven't seen a team in the Southeast District that can play with them, certainly not beat them over the course of 32 minutes. And the question goes on to say, Shane, what type of team would it take, and what would be some keys to having a chance? So this is something that probably going to change your answer maybe a little bit, or maybe not. Give us some wisdom on this one.
Well, I think first thing, Bruce, here, keep in mind this email had come in much earlier in the week. Mm-hmm. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. So I think with what we just discussed there, I think the first thing you have to do is just kind of analyze Uniota and get a feel for who they are moving forward. And then once you've done that, then we can kind of return to the email if that's okay. I guess as I started to prepare for this earlier in the week, I know that's lofty expectations, but I thought they were really, really fair. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's again, no disrespect to Westfall and Adina, but I just felt like there wasn't going to be a huge challenge in the league. I know both of those teams, you know, at least competed in segments of those games, and they still have to make a tough trip to Westfall and so forth. But, you know, obviously in the league, I thought they were going to roll. And quite frankly, throughout the Southeast District, a lot of what they're saying is true. That there, you know, there's 5, 6, 7 Division II teams that come to mind that are very, very solid basketball teams. You know, Courthouse, good team. Vinton County, solid team. Obviously, McLean's going to get better and better. Chillicothe's out there. Logan Elm's always good. You know, so, you know, Warren, there's a lot of different teams there in the Division II. Fairfield Union, who I know Union had to play. I mean, that's a really fair comment, what they're saying. You know, now that you step back and you start to look at them, I certainly think they're still the favorite to do that. Mm-hmm. And for me to say that just speaks volumes on how talented the rest of this roster is. But obviously, they do take a completely different look. You know, as I start to look, the Division II is a lot tougher than Division III, because Division III in the Southeast Ohio, I learned this when I worked, J.J. Huddle was the Southeast coordinator there for a while, as I do some writing there. So many of our Division III teams in Ohio are in the Southeast. So what happens is we're offered more spots, so forth, and a lot of times we'll get 2, even 3 in some sports out to the regional, where in Division II, it's almost like you're a game behind. You know, winning a sectional title in Division II is like winning a game at the Convo in terms of just levels, in terms of the number of teams. So, you know, a lot of times what happens is in Division II, you have to be 2 really good teams just to win a sectional. Mm-hmm. So when you win a Division II sectional here in the Southeast, you've certainly earned it. So that's certainly a factor to look at. But, you know, this Uniota team is still very deep. Coach Hoops, I feel once he gets settled in here with his team, you know, minus Cottrell here, is going to still look to play 9-10 kids. And that really wears you down kind of physically and mentally. It's a little bit of a different look on the perimeter. Instead of having 3 elite shooters, now you usually have 2 elite shooters, a couple other kids that can shoot it pretty well if he wants to go with that lineup. I thought what was interesting is a lot of times to get Bruce his most talented 5 on the floor, it kind of forces him to play a third big. Mm-hmm. So that's the look that I haven't seen from Coach Hoops much in the last 2 years here because of how deep they've been at guard. But, you know, some bigger lineups, some leadership. Wheeler and Hosley become really, really important because I think what people forget sometimes, he had a really talented 5 one time on the floor the other night, and I kind of laughed a little bit as I was analyzing, because I was really analyzing his substitution pattern the other night. I looked out there, and I'm sure SVC fans and coaches that don't root for Udiota don't want to hear this, but he had 4 sophomores on the floor.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where they're a little bit younger. And I think that, again, is how special Cottrell is from a leader and just a talent. Remember what I was talking about. He makes you so deep because he can play all 5 spots, offense, defense. He can go run the point for you for a while if you need him to. You shoot the 3, score inside. He can do a lot of different things. So, I tell you what, probably one of the best things to do here, Bruce, if you're okay with it, before we return to that email, I had a chance to talk to bit after the game and just kind of pick his brain on some of these things. Let's go ahead and run that if that's okay.
Well, Coach, my first chance to talk to you since the unfortunate stuff last night there. The first of all, just kind of catch me up on just where you're at and your program's at over what you've endured here in the last 24 hours.
Well, really, it's been a long 24 hours, obviously. The best thing for us was to be able to get out here tonight and get back on a court and play. And, you know, it was an unfortunate incident, you know, with Cole. You know, we're going to just try to make the best of it and continue playing basketball for as long as we can so that he can get back and join us.
Well, the common sense part is what you lose from a basketball standpoint. But take us kind of inside the huddle, inside the locker. And, you know, your basketball team's a little younger than people think because of how good you are. When you lose a senior like that, what's the stuff beyond basketball that you're afraid that you've lost?
Well, you know, just that security blanket with having someone out there there that when you need a basket, you could have thrown the ball to 20 and usually got one. But we feel comfortable with the guys we do have. We've got a lot of good basketball players, both inside and out, that we feel like we can rely on. And, you know, it's just that next man up syndrome that we're going to have where, someone's going to have to step into that place, and it's not going to be one person by himself. You know, we preach team, and as a team, we'll just have to overcome what we lost with Colt.
Well, obviously, you haven't had a chance to sort all this out, so this might even be unfair of me to ask you. But as I observe some of your combinations tonight, it almost looks like a lot of times, to get a combination of your best five up there on the floor, you might be looking at three bigs at times, and that's something I haven't really seen you play a lot of. But I tell you, the Fisher kid was a lot more versatile tonight than I thought. It just kind of take me through some of your substitution pattern on how you think that might change moving forward.
Well, it's going to be night to night. Tonight, obviously, with 24 hours, we didn't have really any time to prepare. So we just we're messing around with a few things tonight, just seeing what worked, what didn't work. And obviously, this week in practice, we'll be able to iron some things out. But, Gabe Fisher's a tremendous athlete. He's really worked on his game over the summer. He
had a lot more guard skills tonight than I had seen earlier in the year.
And that's a credit to Gabe for working on it. He knew coming in that he's usually been an inside type player most of his career, but here over the last year and a half, he started to develop, I think, as he's seen the writing on the wall, where we've got some post presence not only in front of him but in his class and below him, that he can slide out to that wing, and as good of an athlete as he is, be able to fill that role nicely for us.
I'll tell you what, good job tonight. You get out of here with a win, which is always tough to do on the SVC. They're in the SVC on the road, and best of luck to you down the road.
All right, thank you.
Again, Coach Matt Hoops, Uniota Sherman's there as his team continues to roll again, what a lot of people feel like is going to be another gold ball opportunity. Obviously, there's some really good basketball teams, Westfall Dina, they're still standing out there in the way, hoping to get their shot at Uniota to stop that. But yeah, I guess what jumped out at me there, Bruce, was again, just kind of picking his brain a little bit, talking. Like I said, as a coach myself, I kind of even told myself on the way to the car there, man, it's kind of an unfair question, but I thought it was just a really interesting question just to kind of hear him talk about some of the versatility and some of the different kids. Because what happens a lot of times, Bruce, on a really talented team is there are kids that can do even more than they do, and that's part of the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? That's part of the sacrifice that makes them so elite. So what happens is now when their role changes, all of a sudden, just like the other night, there's two or three kids that could do some things, and you're like, oh, wow, I didn't know they could do that. So, the other two guards there, Logan Swackhammer, Brandon Kennedy, they're sophomores, but I'm telling you, they can really, really play. I mean, the Swackhammer kid's a really, really unselfish kid that gets people involved. The Kennedy kid's as good a shooter as we have in our league, so they're really, really good. So I mean, this is something that is still going to be very, very challenging for anyone in the SVC or the Southeast District to take these guys down.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What, getting back to the email exactly, it says, what type of team would it take, and what would be some keys to having a chance now?
I really think, as I looked at the Uniota team last night, Bruce, it's going to be an older, very physical basketball team, in my opinion. You're going to have some depth on the inside and out, because, again, what Uniota does is they kind of physically and mentally wear you down. Like, I was sitting over with some of the family there at Huntington, and I was on the Huntington side, and, Huntington, a couple times, they would just make mistakes, and you'd hear people around me say, well, why did he throw it there? Why did he do that? Uniota didn't even cause that, and I just kind of was laughing. I didn't say anything. I was just thinking to myself, well, it's because they're just so physically and mentally worn out by this third and fourth quarter, because that's what Uniota does to you. The tempo and just their size and their athleticism, it just kind of wears on you mentally, and you start to, make poor decisions and so forth. You really have to have – the reason I say older team, Bruce – you really have to have a sense of the tempo you want to play. You got to be able to attack the pressure and eliminate those unforced turnovers, but you also have to make sure you don't take that quick bad shot, because what Uniota does is sometimes they don't press just to turn you over, they press to speed you up. And it's one of those things. It just takes one player on your team being immature, not having the basketball IQ of what you want to do with your tempo. And I know this sounds kind of harsh, but one kid can almost just shoot you out of the game in a matter of two or three possessions, because they can really get the game going in a way you don't want it to. And Uniotica just can just bury a 12-2 in a run. So I think the turnovers, rebounding is always important there, but eliminating those easy points. But I also think you have to have some type of inside presence. We saw this with Westfall a little bit. You either have to do it with a post player, or you at least have to be able to do it with the dribble. So I know Westfall was able to kind of get into the teeth of the defense, we like to say, and get to the free throw line a little bit. I just mentioned how important Hosley becomes. I also, as I say, the Hosley name, I thought it was cool, Bruce, the way Hosley kind of put his number 5 jersey to the side, and he was wearing 20 the other night.
I saw the picture.
I thought that was
kind
of cool. Yeah. But I think Hosley and Wheeler become very important. So I think if you have a post guy that can make them really have to defend, or if you do have the type of guard or guards that can get into the middle and put some pressure on them, I certainly think that's important. But again, I just think that it has to be a team that can just at least compete athletically with them, but at the same time have good enough guards and good enough experience in basketball IQ to take whatever it is the coach wants the tempo to be and make sure that happens. Because obviously there's different teams out there. Some teams are okay with scoring up into the 60s, 70s. Other teams might have to try to get the game down to the 50s. But again, that all comes from having experience and executing your coach's game plan. So that's something we'll follow a little bit more as we get to watch this particular Uniota group play over the next week or two.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit more interesting. Not that we were hoping for it or anything like that.
No,
but it's
no, right.
It just maybe makes it a little more complicated, I guess. So,
yes.
Hey, up next, Shane, we're going to shift over to the girls, where we're forced to wait a little longer for the showdown due to weather, but it does give us time to analyze the league's top two teams just a little bit more.
They're playing basketball
all around the world.
We are the basketball
to the beach.
They're playing basketball.
Around the world, y'all know this is so dead.
No, yeah, he's shaking his head. He knows what's coming next. Have you heard that one, Punk?
Yes, I have.
Okay,
yes.
Good. I am showing my age, perhaps, but those are the when I go looking for bump music, and you wouldn't believe how difficult that becomes at sometimes, because I try not to duplicate and so forth.
Well, and I'm the first to admit that I don't offer nearly the help that one Jeremy Ward or a Mac Holmes might be able to.
No, that's
out.
True. And then what was the hairband boy that we had in here one time?
Chris Eldridge,
that was him. How could I forget? But he was very helpful. He gave me crap, and then
I'm sure Chris is listening, especially since we're getting ready to talk about his Lady Panthers here.
Yep.
So maybe he could drop you an email, Chris, if you're listening. Maybe send Bruce a list of some bump music that you'd like to hear on future
Mr. Hairband. I think we
future call shows.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, we got another fan input item here, and this fan said was. Saying and I kind of looked at the spin on this one. I'm almost concerned that they're thinking we like to hype and discuss. Shane, that's not us, is it? One fan is saying the reschedule gives fans and media like svcsportzone.com a chance to hype/discuss the Westfall Southeastern girls game, which was postponed on the 12th, I think that was last Tuesday, and rescheduled for Thursday, January the 21st at Southeastern. So is that true? Are those? Does it give us more time? Are we going to continue to hype and discuss the Westfall Southeastern girls game?
Well, I certainly think it does.
We will. Yeah.
this really is. This is a great game, a great matchup. Yeah. It got me thinking a little bit, Bruce, and maybe some Westfall fans could share with the website if I'm way off on this, but I guess it kind of taken me back over the last couple of years to how this Stone Rock and Robinson Mathis group here at Westfall was trying to get over the hump against the Overly group here at Uniota.
Mm-hmm.
And how they struggled, and then finally they kind of got them there at the end a little bit, and it kind of was like their coming out party a little bit. And I just wonder if we're looking at that same type of thing here. Those Westfall girls are so battle tested, so talented, so athletic, so versatile. And, you know, Southeastern here is kind of the really young basketball team. Cause I'll promise you people around the league forget how young Southeastern is. I mean, people just want, you know, people to start winning championships right now. Oh, Southeastern should win this, and that. Southeastern's a really young basketball team, and they're going to do a lot of winning. They've already done a lot of winning. But it just makes me wonder, is that kind of the same type of thing we're in for? You know, here's Westfall trying to kind of finish this off again and kind of prove that they're still the top dog, if you will. And Southeastern's kind of that team kind of knocking on the door, looking for that signature stamp in terms of SEC championship and moving into that championship level is again, most of the Southeastern teams going to be around together for another year, in some cases two more years. So that's interesting. I think, as you heard me say before, turnovers, rebounding is always key in any big game. But I think another thing to look at is the role players from the Westfall side. A Becky Mathis or an Emily Walker is a good shot maker. She can knock down some shots. Westfall's size is so overwhelming at times, but you know, Southeastern's one of the teams in the league that can certainly match. I mean, Southeastern with Colin Skeens and Wheeler go 6 foot, 5'11", 5'9". So the aggressiveness of a Morris, we talk about role players making shots, some perimeter shooting from the Orton. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. Southeastern just proved to be up to the challenge on the glass against Piketon, who's one of our best rebounding teams in the league. I know Southeastern dominated the glass there, which really caught some people's attention the other night. That as being a step as a young Southeastern team kind of doing some championship intangibles, if you will, in terms of rebounding to basketball and some of the toughness that, you know, Piketon's so well known for. So I think the biggest matchup to look for is probably the aggressiveness of Skeens. I know up at Westfall, Skeens kind of had kind of a slow night, but nonetheless was doing a good job of keeping her team out in front. Southeastern led that game most of the night, and then Westfall had the late charge. So, you know, Skeens is such a tough matchup. And she's a kid that if she comes out in the right aggressive mindset can really cause put some pressure on the officials, put some pressure on the Westfall defense. And if multiple kids in the big three for Westfall would get in foul trouble, that would be a factor. And then obviously the same's true for Skeens and Wheeler there on the Southeastern side. So both teams much better defensively than earlier in the year. I think it's just it's a lot of fun as other people in the league or just a fan of the league to just kind of step back and take a look at this head-to-head matchup. Sure.
Okay. And what other things are going on in the girls league right now? What other things you're watching for?
Well, I've been mentioning it several times throughout the last couple of weeks on SVC Sports Talk. I think Uniota getting a lot better all the time. I think that started with their some of their non-league losses to some really good schools, and then they played Southeastern really tough. They ended up beating Paint Valley the other night. So that Paint Valley Uniota match is kind of a fifth place battle there. The Woods girl from Paint Valley, really a tough matchup. Had a chance to go out and watch Saturday morning as Paint Valley beat Zane Trace. But, you know, for Uniota there, Phil had a really big week. I know she's getting a lot of love in our inbox for the Herbie Strange Athlete of the Week. She had I never did get the official stat line from Jeff there, Coach Miller. They were thinking unofficially that she was real close to a triple-double in terms of rebounds and blocks the other night in the Paint Valley win. But I'll tell you the one storyline that kind of got lost in a little bit. The night the Westfall-Southeastern game was canceled, the Huntington-Uniota game still happened, and that was a 71-65 final in girls basketball there. Huntington really shot the ball well this week. Obviously, Ariel Sams, the leading three-point shooter in the league, shot it well. But Jillian Snyder, a nice role player for the Lady Huntsmen, hit four threes in the Uniota win and then four more threes in the Adena win. So eight threes on the week for the senior. And then, Huntington's probably made close to 85 threes now, Bruce, as a girls basketball team. That's quite a bit with Sam Snyder, McGill, Greg Cox, even Neighbors can shoot a little bit. So that's kind of an interesting thing there is Huntington and Piketon will continue to battle for the third place. So you kind of have your first place battle, you kind of have your third place battle, and you kind of have your fifth place battle, and you have a lot of different storylines in all of that. And I think each program's trying to take those steps. You know, obviously Westfall Southeastern trying to win the championships there. Paint Valley start trying to push themselves into next year as being a team that's going to look to the top half. Huntington now one win away from their first winning season since I want to say it's 2008. So yeah, a lot of interesting things going on there. I think pay attention to the girls scoreboard and look for some of those news and notes.
All right, going to be a big week. Well, Shane, let's take it down to the fast break.
Yeah, awesome segment this week from a great email. First, let me go ahead and give Crown Hill Golf Club a shout out here, Bruce. As always, the Fast Break segment is going to be brought to our listeners by Crown Hill. It's located up there, U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. That's just minutes from Route 104. As I always say, all you have to do, fans, get on the telephone, 740-986-GOLF. That's 740-986-4653. Ask for Dave or Kevin. Tell them SVC SportsZone.com sent you. Again, that great deal going through January. If you're a golfer who gets out and plays different courses in the area, if you're okay with me being quite blunt with you, you're absolutely nuts if you don't get up there and take advantage of that. So please do that. But Bruce, what we have here in the Fast Break segment is we had a neat email. If I understand the email correctly, this is part one.
Oh, we got more to come.
He or she or whoever would not send both parts to me. So I guess they're waiting to see if I screw this week up or whatever. But basically what they were wanting to do is they were talking about how they've been a part of the SVC a long time. Nowadays, they don't really have any rooting interest. They just kind of like to get out and still support a lot of the kids in a lot of schools. And they were saying they enjoy watching a lot of the coaches on the sidelines and trying to break down the different programs. And they said, obviously, in the coaching profession, a lot of times the feedback is very negative. So they wanted an opportunity to kind of give some positive shout outs. And they were hoping that I would give some characteristic or attributes of each coach. So they even took the time to, out of the 16 varsity coaches, to kind of go with eight of them this week and kind of put them into four of our fast break questions for us. So this was a really well thought out procedure for the show here. We appreciate it. And I think it'll be a lot of fun. So Bruce, if you're okay with it, we'll go with the fast break segment.
Let's start with Unioto Connection, now coaching in the Boys League. Jason Smith and Matt Hoops.
Well, obviously, the Unioto Connection they're referring to, both of them played their high school ball there at Unioto, so I am very well aware of these guys in terms of their basketball background and into their coaching career. You know, you take Jason, Bruce, he's a really emotional guy. He's not afraid to show you exactly how he feels. He just doesn't know how to quit. He competes so hard, and he invests so much in his relationships with his kids that I think that's why he's been able to build this Adena program up. And you know, I look at it, the way he can coach the guard position. He was such a good guard himself. When I look at Jonathan Thomas and the way he's grown as a young man and as a player, I think Jason deserves a lot of credit for that. As far as Coach Hoops, I mean, gosh, Matt and I go back almost 30 years. We're friends. We will always be teammates, which we're very linked in that way. You know, and what's neat about it is, as you get into you being an adult, you go your separate ways a little bit, and you still keep in great contact, even when you disagree about some different things or whatever. You always have that link I talked about, and if I'm going to give Coach Hoops an incredible compliment, he's the best teammate I probably have ever had in all my years of being around sports. So I think that shows in his team. When I'm talking about him as a coach, I've watched him coach teams where he was 1-20 or 21 or whatever they were that year, and then I've watched him coach where he hasn't lost more than a game in about 2 years. So, you know, he's been on every side of it, but nonetheless, his teams take on such an unselfishness and such a we mentality instead of me, and you could hear it in the Contro interview earlier, and I think he has a lot to do with that.
Next, let's go with a pair that has jumped from girls to boys and from boys to girls, Jaron Cox and Eric Snyder.
Well, you start there with Jaren, Coach Cox out there at Southeastern. Again, he had jumped over from the Edina girls, had a lot of success there. I think the thing that jumps out at me about his coaching is he really can teach the defensive end. I think he was well taught himself in his playing days with Gary Kello there at Zane Trace, and then some of his assistant coaching with Lee Snyder. You're talking about two really, really legendary basketball coaches in our area, and Jaren has certainly taken a lot of those things and incorporated them into his programs. You know, Jaren really teaches kids how to guard man-to-man, so it doesn't matter if he has a really good team or if he has an average team or whatever, you know they're going to guard, and that's something that I really appreciate because I love teaching that in myself. As far as Eric, obviously, I know Eric extremely well, Coach Snyder there. I mean, gosh, this guy's been all over the place, and as they were referring to. He's been the varsity boys coach. He's coached at the college level. Now he's doing a great job at the Huntington program. I mentioned there a second ago, Huntington one win away from a first winning season since 2008. He's already won a sectional title there as well. So I guess with him, it's his toughness. You know, he's not as much of a technical guy as some coaches. He's more of a reaction basketball guy is the way I would explain it. It's kind of an organized chaos, if you will. It doesn't matter how small a team or how you know outmatched they are. He's a guy that gets his teams to really, really play well in chaos and adversity. And I think that's why his teams are always so difficult to play and can go on the road and play in a lot of different environments, a lot of different styles.
Another pair could be paired that coached champions in the 1990s and are now leading programs again, David Shoemaker and Alan Coker.
Yeah, kind of a neat pairing here that a lot of people in today's SVC may be not aware of. You know, Coach Shoe had the championship team there in the early 90s with Craig Kearns, an outstanding team there at Paint Valley. Coach Coker with Schleicher at Westfall, an outstanding player, outstanding team. So, yeah, they've certainly have done that. They've kind of gone on. They both have went into the athletic directing a little bit and then back to the sidelines here. And yeah, I'll start with Shoe, I guess. It's we go a long way back, and I think the thing with him is he brings such a confidence to the program. He really believes in what he's selling, and he does a good job of selling it. Yeah, he really promotes his program. He promotes his kids. He has a lot of basketball resources, Bruce. He's been around a lot of different things, done a lot of traveling, been a lot of levels at the higher levels of basketball. And you know, again, he uses that to really kind of give his kids an awesome experience and really get them excited about basketball. Keep in mind, you're selling basketball at Bainbridge in the last 30 years isn't maybe as easy as selling a hungry man a big plate of food. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those where I think he would even admit that he started to maybe adjust a little bit to giving some kids some freedom in terms of some coaching style. But for me, it's not even style with Shu as much as it is how he just sells his program. As far as Coach Coker, I guess the biggest attribute characteristic that jumps out at me there, he is a preparation nut, and I mean that in a good way. You know, very, very few coaches put the preparation time into scouting, traveling, film work, calling around. Just he's relentless in his preparation. And what that does is it gives his team the maximum chance. You know, we talked about some scouting on previous shows. He has such an understanding of every role player and tendencies, and he challenges your execution. And I think Shu and Coker both deserve a lot of credit for being able to change with the time and take their way and kind of continue to change with the kids and so forth. Because, again, you're talking about people that have done it 25, 30 years now and done it really well.
I don't want to leave out Piketon and Westfall, so let's go with Brett Carino and Trevor Youngkin.
Yeah, Coach Carino is another one that goes on back. Again, a lot of people in the SVC now with younger kids coming along at this point maybe do not remember, but Brett was a really good basketball coach on the boys' side. He was a coach of the year, an SVC champion with the Volgamore kid back there. That would have been 2004, I believe. And you know, that the program was going through some hard times there, and I thought Brett Carino really did a good job of kind of being the glue for Piketon basketball at that point. It ended up leading to a championship, and Kyle Miller and Eric Farmer and so forth, and I thought that really bridged the gap to the Smith, Rapson, Legg, and some of those people that went on to do some really special things as well. I guess with Coach Carino, it's always impressed me how well he teaches the post. So fundamental on the block. They rebound so well. I know the first thing he would tell me is, yeah, Shane, we did it the other night against Southeastern. And as soon as I saw that stat, I thought of Brett and thought that that's probably like him just getting punched in the gut. It's one of those things. I know he emphasizes the glass so much that I'm sure that was something he wants to get fixed. But, you know, they just understand tempo. They're so well coached. And as far as Coach Youngkin there at Westfall, he's one of the few coaches that I have not had a past of coaching against in some way, or even when I was a player, or maybe coaching against on the sideline or so forth. But as I've observed him over the last 2 to 3 years here, his player development, their physical maturity, him really bringing a toughness and kind of teaching these kids how to grow into varsity players, I think has been really, really impressive. I love the tempo they play. And I think the more he learns the league and so forth, I think some of the defensive end will improve and some different things. But, man, I love the job he's doing there at Westfall. Westfall basketball just kind of looks a little bit more of a consistent identity, I guess is the way I say. And I really think he deserves a lot of credit for that.
That was good stuff. Did you write that, or did those actually came in from a listener, right?
Yeah, that was really cool. And again, like I said, they not only had given me the coaches, they actually had written the questions. So wow. It was really neat. Yeah.
Well, we'd love to get other people involved as well. And whoever that
Hopefully
was.
Hopefully I didn't screw it up too much, and they'll actually send the other 8 coaches next week.
Well, we can hope. You can hope. And we've got a new writer out there. We don't know who he or she is, but I don't exactly know how that came in, but I suspect by email. And you can email us at admin1@svcsportszone.com. You can submit or post through Facebook. You can hit us up on Twitter. On Facebook, I should tell you that Shane has his personal account out there, as well as an svcsportszone.com account. Twitter is at svcsportszone.com. Email, I mentioned that. And then we have the phone number where you can leave us a message, 740-569-3254. Almost forgot that. I don't know how that happened. And while I'm thinking about this, Shane, I wanted to mention, too, that if you want to get an email every time there is a new episode published, you can do that by going on the DBK Media Services website. And at the bottom of each post or each episode, there's a little box. You put your email in there. Once you submit that, you'll get an email back from Google, and you got to verify your email address. Otherwise, you will never get that. We've had several people that have stopped at that one step. You got to verify. So, and then something more and more people are doing. We're seeing people do this. They subscribe on their iPhone or their iPad through the podcast app. So you can do
a lot
that.
Of feedback on that. A lot more and more people telling me that's how they listen now.
Yeah. And that's that makes it pretty portable. You can go out for a walk, or you can drive, or whatever. It just will take us with you wherever you go, and download it wherever you are if you've got the right data subscription.
Isn't that a scary thought? Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Bruce and Shane with you everywhere you go.
Yeah, it really is. Well, speaking of emails, we got one that we were kind of keeping in the can, so to speak, for last week, but the show just got too full. Shane was too windy, and we apologize for the delay. But it goes on to talk about kind of some terms here that this person is hearing. And the person says that they coach Little League, and they hear a lot of high school coaches use the words fundamentals and intangibles. This coach wants to know two things. First, in terms of basketball, what is the key fundamental to teach kids of any age, but especially younger players, Shane?
Well, that's quite the broad topic, but I tell you, if I'm going to take one, but no, I think the email's awesome, though, because again, if you know, we have some little league coaches that are you know, really wanting to take it serious and get involved, and I think that's great because, you know, obviously when we're going with third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade teams on the boys and girls side, it takes a lot of different coaches to make this happen. So I think that we have to really work on developing good young coaches. I think the biggest thing I would encourage someone to work on is the feet. It's got to be the footwork, the pivots, the defense. I think the entire game of basketball. Matt, my brother Matt told me a funny story about their upward game the other day, and Brevin comes to the car. Brevin, you know, he's asking Matt, you know, why am I better at defense than offense? And I thought Matt gave him a pretty honest answer. He explained to him that offense is, you know, it's harder to play. And I think that's the biggest thing for us to understand is offense is very difficult to play. The game of basketball overall is tough to play until we really learn how to use our feet properly. I think if you take a look at the greatest players of all time, you know, the two best players in my lifetime that I could truly appreciate are Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. And you're talking about two guys that have the best feet and the best footwork and the best use of the pivot foot that I've ever seen. I think a lot of the same for some of the bigs that I watch on film that maybe I wasn't old enough to watch, the same is true. But I just think that's really, really important. Kobe Bryant made a neat comment in an interview I watched the other night, and I'd seen this done before, and I've used it a little bit as a coach. Try doing some of your offensive moves without the ball. And really concentrating on what it feels like with the feet and some of your body positioning and so forth. Because I think what happens is what makes it hard is, you know, young kids aren't good enough with the basketball sometimes to do what their mind sees. And what you're trying to do is really work on the feet and so forth. So I think anything you can do with footwork is really, really important at a younger level. And I think that anything you're doing with that, you can't go wrong. So I would say probably the footwork from a standpoint of just learning how to play off of your left foot as a pivot foot, right foot as a pivot foot, drop steps, things like that.
Okay. All right. This is part of the same email, and this is a follow-up to the first question. It says, beyond basketball skill, what are some things, and it's got in parentheses, intangibles to teach kids to help them prepare for higher levels of basketball?
Well, isn't it neat, Bruce, how the show kind of comes 360 here? And to be honest, we didn't plan it at all. You know, we were talking Cole Cottrell at the beginning, and now here we have a little league coach asking about intangibles, and that's what makes Cole so special is he's kind of the Mr. Intangible of the league, if you will. I mean, it's a thing that teach kids how to be awesome teammates. You heard me talk about this throughout the show. Treat coaches and players and officials the right way. Teach them how to kind of dress and act and all the different things, the routines. And I'll just throw some things out there, and people might say, oh, you can't do that at the third, fourth, fifth. And we're playing games at the third, fourth, fifth grade level. Surely we can teach them some of these things. You know, I like teaching kids how to huddle up in terms of, you know, on the bench, get them sitting there in order. If you have a more advanced team, sit them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 left to right on the bench so that they can see, you know, put the backup point guard there to your left and so forth around the back. Teach them how to huddle up and pay attention, how to listen. You know, junior high games, I see a lot of times it's just almost turning into a rec ball type of thing where you just kind of people have their uniform on walking out around the stands or whatever. Teach them how to kind of come together as a team, how to sit together, go get dressed, stay in the locker room together, how to warm up, national anthem if it's an older team, how to stand. You watch good basketball teams do it. And they have routines and they have a structure to them that makes them look like a unit. One of the biggest things that I try to get kids to understand at a young age is don't set yourself apart. Don't try to go out. You know, a lot of people, if they're being blunt, kind of say, don't do things to just make yourself get seen. I mean, fit into the group. Am I saying that right, Bruce? Because, sure. I mean, again, jump in if I don't. Because when in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, a lot of this stuff might be difficult to do, but teach it to your best players. Because honestly, a lot of times it's that best player that's so talented that as they get older, they're kind of the ones that set the tone or the ones that, you know, you run into problems with this with. So it's something I really believe in. When I hear the word intangibles, I'm thinking about a kid that is an incredible teammate that represents everything in terms of the values that you want your program to represent. And like any other skill, there's nothing wrong with this starting down at a little league level.
Once you instill it there, it hopefully just continues to grow and blossom as they get, you know, closer and closer to graduation, whether they continue it on or not. But it's these, I consider intangibles to basically be those things after you get off the basketball court that you continue to use in your daily life.
Well, just watch good teams, like during a national anthem or during warmups or whatever. And I'll guarantee you they have some structure to them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, Shane, good stuff. Our final segment we'll move into now, called our post-game comments, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. And, of course, Shane's already talked about this, but you can check out their website at crownhillgolfclub.com. And anytime you visit the golf course, of course, tell Kevin and Dave that dear old SVC SportsZone.com sent you. So we'll move now into our post-game segment. And believe it or not, Shane has a question here for me, I think, coming up, don't you?
Well, I really do. It's been a really fun show, too. I mean, this has been just kind of neat to break down the coaches and talk some Little League and talk Uniota there. The question, though, that had come in was actually more for you, Bruce, in terms of some of the things they've heard you talk about our atmosphere and stuff, asking what is it that a PA announcer expects from the visiting coach? What are some of the different things that you can get that can certainly make life easier on you and maybe allow you to kind of add to that atmosphere that we've been talking about?
Yeah, given a little background first, for probably, I think it's been 10 years now, I've been the PA announcer at Vinton County. I've done both boys and girls games. Last week, I think I did somewhere in the neighborhood of about 10 games. I do freshman, JV, and varsity boys, and JV and varsity girls. So I enjoy doing it. I'm that's just something, some way I can contribute. But the thing that I would like to have from the visitors to enhance my job and to allow me to do a better job of recognizing the athletes on the court, because that's what it's all about. I don't want to be the show. They're the show. I'm just there in a supportive role. But it would be a good roster, correct numbers, correct spelling of names, and maybe a little help if from time to time on a rough pronunciation. Those would go a long way, and it just doesn't happen.
So the crowd's not correcting you throughout the
first
quarter.
Yeah. I also help with football, and this season, after doing that for probably a total of probably like 15 years, I actually had a mother from the opposing team walk up into the press box and correct the pronunciation of the PA announcer. I'm actually doing spotting at that point. I'd never had that happen before. And I
did you hand her the mic and let her pronounce it one time for the crowd?
No, I won't go into the details, but I don't think we were actually butchering the first name because of a bad fax. I mean, the fax that we got was, yep, the roster we got was faxed. It was hard to read. We were pronouncing his first name wrong. And she corrected us, and she was fairly polite in doing so. But I just thought, was that really worth walking completely around the field to get over to the PA and, you know, up to the press box to correct that? I just don't know that it was, but maybe it was to her. I don't know. So that would be my answer, is a good roster ahead of the games, maybe sent from the athletic director to the athletic director of the schools, and in time that. In my case, I like to have those done. I sometimes do them, you know, a week in advance if I've got them. Lots of times you'll get the roster in November for a game that doesn't take place until maybe the first week of February or something like that. Kids move up, move down, and so forth. So current Sure. roster would be something. So that would be something that would be very helpful to in my case, you know. But we usually work it out with the bookkeepers. But it's high intensity. In our case, we've gone to 15 minutes between games, and that really compresses time for the bookkeepers to get their books in order. If the coach has not already done so, I know a lot of coaches do that. You also got either cable TV people that want to look at the books, haven't had a chance. You've got radio people that want to do that. And you may have another, you know, a stats person from the other team coming over with their iPad to get it loaded up as well. So I think dissemination of the roster would be, that would go a long way towards making things more pleasant for all those at the bench and in, you know, subsequently for everybody at the event as well.
Well, I just think that's some interesting discussion that we've had now for 2-3 weeks about all the different things that go into the atmosphere. And I think what it's done, just some of the face-to-face conversation I'm having, is all of these things are kind of getting people paying attention to these little details around the gym and the different things. And that's kind of fun just to get that type of discussion and feedback going. I guess as I look into some future shows too, Bruce, I look – you know, we talked about doing a Little League show. It seems like we keep getting a lot of questions on that. We still have some different audio there from some coaches. Another thing that's coming up, I know my brother there in the Viking Round Ball Hour, which is also there on DBK Media Services, the last couple of weeks they've been talking rule changes. Mm-hmm. We've done that here on SVC Sports Zone before. That's kind of an interesting topic, if that's something. And then obviously hopefully we hear back on the other eight coaches. I kind of enjoyed that fast break. So I'm always amazed week to week. I'm always trying to think of different topics, but I know more can list two or three myself, and it seems like I'll get an email by midweek. That's an awesome thing I didn't even think about. So appreciate that for the fans. Keep bringing those things in because that makes it fun.
Yeah, and I didn't even discuss this, Shane, but I don't think you'd care. But on the Viking Roundball podcast, which is sort of – it's hosted at the same dbkmediaservices.com website. They have been talking with a referee. It was this past time, let's see, their episode 55. They actually talked to a referee about some of these potential rule changes. This particular person had done all kinds up to and including college level. I don't know whether you caught that episode or not.
I did. I listened the other day. I've really enjoyed their last two episodes.
It'd be interesting for people maybe to, you know, if they've got extra time, crossover, listen to those episodes as well, and that might generate some more fodder for stuff here. But we really do appreciate everybody with the submissions of questions, the submissions of ideas, and so forth. It makes it so much more fun. Shane actually contacted me several days out and said, just getting lots of good feedback this week. So we really do appreciate that. So we'll let him go back into hiding so he can take off and get rested up and get ready for the week that's going to come in the SVC here. Lots of things could unfold between now and the next time we talk to you. And we certainly hope that you'll keep it right here. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, everyone here at DBK Media Services, and for, of course, the sage of the SVC, Shane Combs, this is Bruce Knox, reminding you to keep visiting svcsportszone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by svcsportszone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit svcsportszone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.